Socrates did this kind of ethics by wandering around Athens and investigating in the course of conversation with people what it is that they thought the virtues were. He had the habit of asking people, sometimes at what seemed to be somewhat importune moments, what they thought justice is and whether a particular course of action was just, what they thought courage was in a certain occasion, and how it is that they could possibly teach courage to their children or elicit temperance from some of the rowdier and younger members of their community. Plato continued this particular effort by devising very interesting dialogues that have Socrates at the center. And Plato's dialogues use the very figure of Socrates, sometimes elaborating discussions that the historical Socrates never had, but managing more and more to communicate by indirection and by storytelling and by elaborate philosophical conversation, elaborating some of these insights into human character. Aristotle continues this same pattern in ethics by looking at human nature and looking at it particularly with a biologist's eyes. He does an enormous comparison of the people in his community and of one community with another, looking not just at his fellow Athenians, but looking at people from the other Greek city-states, and then not just at Greek city-states, but looking at the other peoples that were known to him. The Egyptians, for instance, the people from the Near East. And then with reports from students like Alexander, who had been given to him to tutor when he was a young man, reports even from the world that is presently in the what we call the Mideast and the regions as far as Afghanistan and India. Aristotle undertakes this study of human nature by trying to see our human nature with the eyes of what today I think we would call an anthropologist and the biologist of human custom. He wants to see what is it that's truly common in all these instances and what it is that's specific to this or to that particular group or to this or that specific person. Now, in his effort to make this grand anthropological survey, he finds that it's helpful to write it out in treatise form. Aristotle's work, as we will see in the course of this series, Aristotle's work is the direct kind of speech, the direct kind of study that is in the form of a treatise, laying out at the very beginning of the treatise, and we'll see this in the next lecture, what is the general game plan for human life? What's its purpose and its goal? He ultimately thinks that the reason why everybody does whatever it is that we do is that we think it's going to bring us happiness. And he's quite sure that all of us around the globe, at least as far as he had been able to survey, that everyone acts for what they think will make them happy, but that where they disagree is on what it is that really constitutes that happiness. People will have very different answers for what it is that they think will bring them satisfaction and happiness, but that everyone pursues as a general goal happiness as something that is really definitive and really self-sufficient and really satisfying. In the course of the other books, there are 10 books altogether within Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. In books 2 through 10, we find him taking up other subjects, and in particular, taking up what is for Aristotle the central notion of ethics. It's the notion of virtue. For Aristotle, virtue is a matter of excellence at a particular function. We might, for instance, have excellence on the sports field. We might have excellence in the classroom. We might have excellence in a particular trade or excellence in business. But besides those particular forms of excellence that come with the particular pursuits that we give ourselves to in this part of our life or that part, he is also interested in seeing whether or not there are some common patterns of excellence that would be expected of everyone, no matter what kind of life they lead, no matter what their circumstances. And he will use this notion of excellence to organize the content of most of his book, The Nicomachean Ethics, to try to describe what it is that makes for real human flourishing. From time to time, in the course of making this survey, he will come to some of those issues about matters of our emotions, matters of how we feel. And he will have, for instance, a long discussion of temperance and of courage, the part of our life of virtue that deals with how we deal with danger and fear, or how we deal with our desires and our stirrings and our passions.